just one more match to take. Marlon Romeo.
Saved by Ryan! Matt Ryan saves! And it's all square again. It's 3-3 on penalties after four kicks each.
Oh, so good. Matty Ryan in the FA Cup clash against Millwall. They ended up winning that clash 5-4 on penalties after 2-2. It's at the end of play. Russell Milton would have been watching it all unfold. He loves Matty Ryan. I'm sure he's back again for our EPL update. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Ralph. Yeah, of course I do. Love him like I love you boys. Brilliant, isn't it?
We appreciate the feedback. Hey, big save. He's gone the wrong way. He's had to stick the leg out and kick it away. It's a big effort from Matty Ryan.
Brilliant. Because, well, they were behind all the time, weren't they, Brighton? They were two down. Millwall were two, you know, doing very well. And then the Millwall keeper threw one in, didn't he, right at the end? It's a tale of two keepers in the end. One was the villain and one was a hero. So, yeah, they got back to 2-2 Brighton, went to penalties, and, you know, they were even behind in the penalties, Brighton, till Ryan come up and saved. Like you said, he went to his left and the lad put it down the middle, didn't he, the Millwall player, and he managed to save with his feet. So, you know, as all goalkeepers do, good goalkeepers do, they keep the ball out of the net any which way they can, and they went on to win and go through. So, you know, I'm sure they're well happy to get through to the semi-finals, Brighton. And it's their first one since 1983. You know, that was probably tempered a little bit about 10 minutes later when they had Man City. So we'll see where that one goes.
Well, Man City defeated Swansea City 3-2. The other quarterfinals, it was Watford 2-1 over Crystal Palace. And Wolves defeated Manchester United 2-1, which was a big result. And it gives us semi-finals with Man City taking on Brighton and Watford taking on Wolves. I imagine the lovers of English football would be pumped to see some different teams having a crack at the FA Cup, Russ.
This is great, yeah. There's a lot being said about the FA Cup. We've talked about it on here a number of times. And, you know, the bigger teams do tend to field and make a lot of changes and field weaken sides, you know, in the earlier rounds, and quite a few went out quite early. And but at the weekend, as you say, Wolves were outstanding against Man United, 1-2-1. That's two defeats in a row now for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But Wolves were, you know, we've got to talk about them, really. They were fantastic. And I do think this team under Nuno Espirito Santos is going to be a really good side. I think they're going to be right up there next year. They've got some fantastic players, very Portuguese-based. They've got Neves, Jimenez, Jota, Moutinho, you know, all outstanding footballers, and they absolutely tore United to shreds. And United didn't have an answer at all. It was 2-0. Rashford scored last kick of the game to give it some sort of respectability. But, you know, Wolves fantastic. And I can quite see them, you know, very soon breaking into the top six if they can keep all this side together and add to it. Outstanding. They've got a fabulous chance to get to, an FA Cup final, and they play Watford in the semis, as you quite rightly said. So, you know, it's good to see, isn't it? You know, Watford, Wolves, Millwall taking it so close. Swansea with two up against City, as you quite rightly said. They were very nearly through to the semi-finals. And, you know, one of the Man City goals was dubious, to say the least. I think Aguero was offside, but, you know, Man City did. They found a way to win. And it's made for some interesting semi-finals in a few weeks' time.
So, Russ, what does that mean now for Wolverhampton, as you said, not only the FA Cup, but they're doing well in the league? Do the players start getting poached now by the big clubs, or are you confident that they can keep the players and build on this and to make sure they're not one of those stories where they're up right near the top of the table and all of a sudden 2 years later they're down in the next division?
We've seen it a few times, haven't we? You know, teams that dare to break that monopoly of the top six. And it used to be the top two with Arsenal, Man United back in the day. Then it was top four, now it's top six. Wolves are, you know, they're a bit off it this season. They're 13 points behind Chelsea, who are sixth. But, you know, they're the next ones in, I think. They're their seventh, and, you know, they're winning that next league table, if you like, within a table. But it is going to be hard for them to keep hold of them. But, you know, some of these players, they are established Champions League international players. And, you know, they would be well known. You know, they're not unknowns. And the thing I think they've got there, they've got quite a family spirit in that Wolves squad, because the manager's Portuguese, a lot of his backroom staff are. The big agent is Portuguese, he's Ronaldo's agent. So he's managed to get all these players in, and, you know, I think, I'm sure, behind the scenes, the manager's going, let's stick together, we could do something big here, we could make this club great, and, you know, better ourselves and get ourselves into that, break the monopoly of the top six. So it will be a tough time for him in the summer, I think, but I'm sure, you know, that the manager will be looking to strengthen it rather than let players go.
So as it stands, Wolverhampton is 13 points behind Chelsea. So Chelsea in position number 6, Wolves in position number 7, and then Watford is in 8. So there's two clubs that have spent most of the last 10 years sitting in the old first division, but they're more than just nuisance value this year.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Watford have done very well. I think they were higher than this early on in the season, and last year they did the same as well under Javi Graffia. They'd started really well, tailed off a little bit. This season, Watford have managed to, you know, maintain their form. They've got the early points, and they, like you said, they're sitting in 8th with Wolves just above them. And you know, they're again a good side. Play slightly different to Watford to Wolves. Watford are very, very much stronger and up and at them. Wolves play more of a football-based game. You know, they keep the ball. They play from the thirds of the pitch. And got some outstanding players, whereas Watford, you know, tend to rely on going a bit more direct. And you know, got some bigger lads in there that sort of shore things up at the back. And certainly in Troy Deeney up front, I've got a battering ram of a centre forward who does really well. So it's different ways as the Premier League and the English leagues are. There's, you know, a lot of variety of teams, and you know, teams win in a lot of different ways. But it's good to see, you know, those two get, you know, bordering on the likes of the top six.
The Liverpool crew, did they dodge a bullet yesterday against Fulham?
Yeah, they did. It was a Sadio Mane penalty, wasn't it? You know, with, 10 minutes to go, I think. And, I mean, he's been outstanding. James Milner penalty, but Sadio Mane won the penalty. He's been outstanding for Jurgen Klopp lately. I think, you know, while Firmino and Salah haven't quite performed, you know, Sadio Mane has been the one that's kept Liverpool going and you know, they obviously went back top of the tree, didn't they? Went above Man City, 2 points ahead. Man City have got a game in hand, so it's going to be a really intriguing battle between those two the last 7 or 8 games. You know, 2 points, like I said. City have won the last 6. Liverpool unbeaten in 10. So, and they've both got big games to come up in the next sort of month or so. And, you know, obviously none bigger than the Champions League that they've got. City are playing Tottenham, aren't they? I think Man City played Tottenham 3 times in 2 weeks coming up in the middle of April, so that'd be interesting. That, yeah, and Liverpool, you know, have got some big games coming up. I think they've got Tottenham next in the league. They've got an international break coming up, but it's Liverpool Tottenham on I think the 30th of March. So, you know, good times ahead, exciting times there. And, you know, you've got the top two fighting it out, then you've got the next 4 fighting it out for the top 6. So, very interesting times in the Premier League, I think. A lot better than last year, anyway.
Yeah, which is good for everyone, I think. And just, I know it's a hypothetical, Russ, but had they been only lost that or walk away with 1 point with a draw there at Fulham, how big a blow do you reckon that would have been emotionally for the Liverpool crew?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, people are quite nervous around Liverpool at the minute. We've touched on this as well. And Liverpool, you know, everybody's desperate there to win their first title for something like 29, 28 years. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of nerves about. I think Jurgen Klopp has got to sort of steady that and, you know, get the players focused and concentrate on the next task in hand. And, you know, fair play to them. You know, they haven't been great lately, but they've come through tests that they needed to. And, you know, people have looked at that one and gone, oh, they'll walk all over Fulham. But Fulham were very good. Liverpool, you know, only had to drop 2 or 3%, and Fulham were outstanding. And when they got back to 1-0 with Ryan Babel's goal, you could see Fulham getting the next one, but Liverpool, as they did, sort of stepped up into another gear and managed to get through and got the 3 points.
The Manchester United situation with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, we've been talking about him for the last month or so, that he's going to get the job permanently. It still hasn't happened yet?
No, not yet. There's a around that he's, you know, he's had meetings with the chief executive and the board, and he's got the job, all barring them announcing it. But, you know, I do think you can't help but think in the back, you know, they're still sort of hedging their bets a little bit. You know, I think, you know, that he's done fantastically well. You know, 3 or 4 months ago, United could only have dreamed of being in this position. They were 11 points behind their 6th place. So now they're sitting right on the verge of the top 4, you know, 2 points behind Arsenal and with a real chance of maybe getting 3rd. They're only 3 off of Tottenham. So, you know, they would have all took this 2 or 3 months ago when he was appointed Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Like I said, I think he's been, you know, he's been told he's got it. But I just can't help that the back of you, if he's got it, why wouldn't you say it? You know, put everyone at ease. You know, I can probably understand that they want to get the season over with and then announce it. But, yeah, it's one of those, I just think, a lot of people asking very soon. Certainly, if if they carry on winning, you know, why don't you announce it? But we'll see what that one is. I would expect, you know, if you were going to have a little wager on it, to put Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as the next Man United manager.
Have to be close, I reckon. Speaking of managers, Brendan Rodgers has taken over the reins at Leicester City. They've won the last two. Is it a different style, Leicester City, or has it just been playing better football?
Yeah, I mean, Leicester were getting a bit mundane under Claude Puel, weren't they? The fans weren't happy. Rodgers has gone in there. He does like to play a different style. Again, he likes to play through the thirds and play attractive football. He did so at Liverpool, didn't he? Did at Celtic. And they were outstanding, really. You know, they went to Burnley, who were fighting for their lives. There's four defeats in a row for Burnley and Sean Dyche. And Leicester went down to 10 men and still come out 2-1 winners. So it shows they're playing for the manager. You know, and I'm sure that, you know, because they've got some very good players in that Leicester team. You know, Jamie Vardy and people like that, you know, are no mugs. And they want to play some good football. So, and James Maddison scored for them. He's been an outstanding signing for them. And, you know, I would expect Leicester to be, you know, not certainly winning the league like they did 3 or 4 years ago, but certainly, you know, getting up to where the Wolverhamptons are in sort of seventh, eighth place, and you know, improving certainly under Brendan Rodgers.
Just on Jamie Vardy, I'm glad you mentioned his name. I mean, he was through their Premiership campaign. He was something else. Like, he was this phenomenon,
yeah.
And then he all of a sudden he just disappeared. Was that on the back of the way that the brand changed after Claudio Ranieri took off, or was it just that he had a bit of a lag from a Premiership hangover, so to speak? Or what happened to Jamie Vardy?
Yeah, I mean, Leicester caught teams on the hop that year. They would defend, play counter-attacking football and leave Vardy a lot of space in behind. And I think what happened, you know, certainly the next season after, I think teams sussed them out and played slightly differently and let Leicester have the ball sometimes. And, you know, obviously Jamie Vardy needs space to run into. He needs, because he's not technically the best, but give him 40 yards to run into and a ball over the top, you know, and he's onto it. And he had a slight few niggling injuries. Didn't quite see eye to eye with Ranieri as quite a few of the players did, and they sort of drifted away, didn't they, Leicester? And, you know, if James Vardy's not quite on form for you, then your team's going to suffer. But, you know, there's been moments of brilliance for him since then, but it hasn't been the consistency which has epitomised where Leicester are, really. And but I think, you know, with Brendan Rodgers coming in, they've got someone there who's a renowned manager who's been at the top. He's won trophies, certainly with Celtic, and I think he'll find under him. I think they'll go from strength to strength now, Leicester.
And what about your boys, Russ, to Cheltenham Town, down to 10 men on the weekend? What the hell happened there? Is that undisciplined, or was it just a bad call?
It was a shocking call, absolutely shocking. We're actually, and I'm not just saying this, and, you know, I'm hopefully Lee Swarby, the referee's not listening to yourself, but... We do actually get on well with him, but yeah, he made a couple of shocking decisions, and we were 1-0 down. The game had 0-0 written all over it. It's an awful game, but the grander scheme of things, we're, you know, 12 points above relegation, and have done really well lately. So our last 20 games have been top 8 form. So, you know, everybody's happy with that. But yeah, it's one of those that you sort of games you put to bed and hopefully try and get something out of it. Unfortunately, we didn't.
Any truth to the rumour that the reason Ole Gunnar Solskjaer hasn't been confirmed as the manager is they're looking at you?
Your sources are good.
Well, sounds like a no-brainer to me. Get you in charge of the Red Devils. That's what we want to see at the top flight, Russ. Always nice to chat, mate. Enjoy the weekend. We'll chat soon.
Yeah. Thanks, boys. Cheers. Pleasure.